Sebastian Furon, doctor of physical therapy here and active duty here in the U.S. Army. So much appreciated. And we're going to talk NFL injuries, UFL season recap, and all of that good stuff with Sebastian here in this episode. Let's start off with the UFL season. So that's one that, again, new spring season, new feeder of talent here, and possibly some names that we've heard fantasy-wise, you know, in years past and things of that regard. So give us a little recap here. I know you submitted a list of a few guys that kind of popped off for you of just, hey, let's keep in mind they could end up making an impact, having a role for themselves in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I appreciate you having me on, Chad. Yeah, pleasure to be on. But yeah, United Football League, kind of combining your two XFL, USFL spring leagues there. So it brought something a little bit exciting, maybe with a little bit more potential to stay around for next season. But yeah, a couple guys. The one guy who kind of became a fan favorite overnight, I know fantasy football, we don't talk about kickers too much, but Jake Bates kind of became a living legend there in Michigan, played for the Michigan Panthers, who play in Ford Field. He kicked a 64-yard field goal in week one, game-winning field goal twice, actually, because they iced him, and he did it the first time and then went back right and did it the second time. So kind of became a star there. So he's staying home in Detroit there playing for the Lions. You know, he's a guy who has the range. I will say, you know, for as good as he was outdoors, he can be a little bit tricky. You know, his accuracy wasn't as good, but he definitely has the possibility of obviously a giant leg kicking multiple 60 yarders this year. So we don't think about kickers too much, but those 60 yard field goals can add up when you start looking at some of those points there in the end. Another guy I was thinking of, I think the guy who has the most potential from a skill position to really make an impact on a roster is Jacob Saliers, running back out of East Tennessee State, played for the St. Louis Battlehawks. Now he's on my New York Football Giants there. And as a Giants fan, you know, Saquon Barkley is no longer with us. Life after Saquon. So the running back room, we brought in Devin Singletary. It's looking a little thin behind Devin Singletary. So I think Jacob Saliers is a guy who runs hard. He's shown the ability to be able to catch out of the backfield. I think he's a guy who can make his way and make a name for himself in training camp and work his way into potentially making that 53-man roster there. So those two guys are guys that I think have the best shot at kind of cracking into any fantasy relevancy.
Yeah, Jacob Saliers, you know, you mentioned him and I did some digging and he's a guy that kind of slipped through the cracks, you know, smaller school guy coming out of college, East Tennessee State. But a couple of the key metrics that you look for on can the guy play, can he stick? And it sounds like it's no surprise, you know, if we kind of look back and then forward that he flashed amongst the UFL talent because, you know, a guy that averaged 6 yards per carry, good after contact, a guy that was actually functional plus in the passing game as well. So exploitable depth chart, not that he's probably projected to beat out Eric Gray or Tyrone Tracy and a sort of more pedigreed talent, but you say running back 2+, it's pretty open there. You know, like you said, Saquon Barkley leaves a hole and Singletary is not one of the most entrenched or talented starters in the NFL. So pretty interesting to see if we can get a splash there, at least making the 53.
Yeah, no, and I think he's a guy who, I mean, even for the UFL, he started as running back 3. He started the year inactive, right? He fought his way up the depth chart, and so he's just a guy who's a grinder. The one last guy I'll throw out here who's actually not on a team yet is Sal Cannella. He played for the Arlington Renegades. He's been in the league, you know, I think he played for the XFL last year, but now obviously the UFL now. Tight end for the Renegades. He led the entire league in receiving touchdowns. He's a very dynamic threat at the tight end position. And I think teams, you know, like the Minnesota Vikings, Los Angeles Rams, you got TJ Hockenson, Tyler Higbee, both coming off ACL tears, both late in the season, both projected to not be there for week one. You know, I think it's pretty crazy that he's not received a call up yet. And I think he's a guy that to watch out for if he does get that call.
Yeah, I love that. Again, you kind of mixed it in. Good segue there. Your expertise in injuries and evaluating these situations. And Tyler Higbee's one, I mean, this is kind of going off board, but to start there, he seems like one that there's a lot more buzz brewing, and it seems like it's only going to continue, that this could be a season-altering, not just September. This could be a longer-lasting thing. A lot of people gravitating towards Kobe Parkinson, who they signed for a significant contract here coming in, ancillary guy in Seattle, maybe a bigger role there. But can you talk about Higbee a little bit, the risk factor of could this end up being something that affects his entire season in a large part?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head, right? Most people think like, oh, maybe the first part of the season, the first couple of games, okay, maybe expect a slow start. Yeah, no, he injured himself this year, right? January 14th of 2024. So he only has about 8 months of recovery time from his injury date to week one. Typically, you want guys to have at least 10 to 12 months. And if research has shown that if you try to come back before 9 months, you are at a significant increased chance for a re-injury. So that's something that no one should advise. So, you're expecting at least 1 month down. And I would expect him to not be back closer to 2 months. And depending on how he's looking and how this Rams team is doing, there's absolutely a possibility we do not see Tyler Higbee really come back. Cause, then you run into the point of it's getting to week 15. Do we really want to roll him out there and risk something, or do you just want to shelf him for this year? So I think you hit it on the head. And yeah, it's a little bit wide open. I know they brought in Parkinson. You got Hunter Long, Davis Allen. It's something that you really don't have to spend a lot for any of those guys. So it's really who do you think is going to win that battle? And the Rams definitely use the tight end.
Yeah, so it sounds like, I mean, if you were putting the highest odds, it might be like November 1st. November would be the biggest month of possible return. You think
Yes.
December or October would be more likely of the two?
I would say December. I would say
Okay.
December. He's got a, so it's not just an ACL tear, it's an
Yeah.
MCL tear as well. So anytime it's a multi-ligament injury, that adds another complication, right? So that's where I think that, I would err more on the side of cautions, closer to that 10, 11 months as opposed to that 9, 8 months.
Excellent. Yeah. And like you said, things change fast in the NFL. So 3 months in, they could be rolling with a couple guys that are hotter and they're like, hey, Higbee, sorry, you're 30 years old and maybe a playoff push, but maybe just next year.
Yep.
A key player that I really love to see what you're looking for in terms of the benchmarks of the words we want to hear or the phraseology in August, because Nick Chubb is a key name because they brought in Deonta Foreman and that was post, Nick Chubb injury and obviously everything of, where are they going to go with this? Jerome Ford morphed into more of a committee last year. So the warm bodies and getting additional guys in there help. Is there something in terms of should he be practicing in any regard? Is he going to be limited all of August? Or is he going to be part of that at all? Is this like almost a lock to be a pup list? So like what's the range of options and what should we be looking for in the couple months leading up to the season?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I think this is another one where we just need to look at the severity of the injury. Obviously, everyone saw how gruesome that injury looked, right? So he's got a medial meniscus tear, MCL tear, ACL tear that he's recovering from. To the point, there was so much damage in the knee, it required two surgeries. Now, this isn't something that is like completely unheard of when you have these multi-ligament knee injuries, but it does give you a little bit of insight on the severity of this type of injury, right? The surgeon felt that he needed to open him up twice to go in, fix the MCL medial meniscus fight or first, and then go in and on a second surgery and do the ACL. So, a lot of people, I know I was just looking at the depth chart, they have Nick Chubb as RB1. I really don't see it. Now, the one nice thing for him is he did injure himself early on in September. So he's got 11 and a half months until week one. So that gives him a chance, but I'm saying a chance to like even return to a resemblance of himself this year. I think for him, this is more of something that I'm expecting a 12 to 15 month recovery timeline. When I talk about recovery timeline, I mean return to sport, return to the field, return to getting back to the ability where you can actually make a difference. Just ACL tear research alone shows that it can take up to 2 years for these guys to get back normal movement, especially your running backs, your wide receivers. They may be able to get there out there and run and make one or two cuts, but it's not, I do not expect Nick Chubb to look like the Nick Chubb that we've known him to be really at all this season. Now, you asked about range of outcomes. I think best case, he starts on the pup and then after 4 weeks, they start working him back in and maybe halfway through the season, he looks like he's starting to produce again. But I really think that is best case, right? I don't.
And that's no setbacks in August. That's sort of like a clean, hey, we're just going to take it safe and slow. He's going to be on the pup, but that's just because we want to make sure we protect him from himself. We don't want to rush him. It
Yep.
sounds like that's kind of storyboarding is what you want to hear. Not, if we hear that he has any sort of setback, that's probably going to push at least a month into the midseason, later season, Tyler Higbee zone, sounds like almost of what the timeline should be.
Yeah, and then you're kind of speaking it right? Like in the off season, you're gonna hear the, I feel great. This is the best off season of my life. I'm gonna
In
come back.
June.
Yeah, exactly, right? I'm going to be back for week one. And so you do really have to kind of look out for what they want to do. Yeah, I think actually, in a weird way, that cautious approach would actually bring some comfort in my eyes for Nick Chubb if they do kind of understand, like, look, you know, it was a major injury. We're going to start him slow. We're going to start him on the pup, or, you know, we're going to definitely ease him in, as opposed to, yeah, he'll be ready for week one.
Yeah, I'm almost rooting in some of these scenarios for a pup list because the last thing you want is to feel like they need to start him in the first 4 weeks. They need to rush him because, like you said, a lot of times it's a transition year. I think we saw that with Saquon Barkley and a couple other notables where the first year they're back, compensating injury, this or that. And it's related to the stressing of trying to get back. And then you end up pulling a hamstring or a calf or an ankle. And it's like, and then all of a sudden that whole year, you're like, he wasn't really Saquon Barkley. So if we get not really Nick Chubb in the second half of the season, I think a lot of people will discount that. But really, we should be looking at 2025, it sounds like, right?
Yeah, I would say so. And yeah, like you said, I mean, and you look at a guy like Javonte Williams, you know, he was coming back and he just really didn't look like he had it last year. He still got the volume, so he's still able to put up a decent amount of points some weeks, but he definitely was not the Javonte Williams we're used to seeing. People do look at Breece Hall. Now, you know, Breece Hall, Adrian Peterson, those are more unicorn types,
Rare, yeah.
right? I think, you know, Breece Hall is a special player. I had my doubts on Breece Hall coming into the season. He absolutely proved that wrong. Now, the Jets' offensive line did not do him any favors, but his explosiveness really just popped as something like, wow, you do not see that very often year one post ACL. So I think it's something, and we do have to take in mind he just had an ACL tear alone. You know, this Chubb is dealing with the meniscus MCL as well. So that's kind of another little bit of a pessimistic take for that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say the two things are you would say probably is age of the patient, right? That a 22, 23-year-old versus a 28, 30-year-old. Adrian Peterson's always gonna be the outlier, of outliers in terms of what he was able to achieve. But multi-ligament versus singular, a quote unquote clean ACL tear, and then the age, those are gonna be two factors that definitely adjust what your prognostication would be. Now, talking about age, can't get much younger than 21 years old here with Jonathan Brooks. So exciting player, ended up being running back one off the board. Looks like a mini baby, maybe poor man's Jamaal Charles in a best case scenario, but he's an incoming rookie and coming off of an injury. We've seen this actually not be a great story before where you get a guy coming into the NFL already hurt. But obviously, Carolina top 50 pick isn't that concerned macro, but should we have a lot of pessimism about when he would actually play? And is he under all the same constraints we just talked about of, hey, this might be a glorified redshirt kind of season?
Well, you know, so Jonathan Brooks, a little bit, I don't know if this is a polarizing take or even a hot take, but really, you know, I am a bit lower on him than the market is. I definitely have my concerns. I will say a lot of what I'm going to speak to is for the first part of the year, for the first half, because ACL tear, November 11th. He's got about 10 months to week one. Again, I talked about like that 10 to 12 month range is where I want to see. So 10 months isn't bad, you know. Definitely would have loved 11 or 12, but he's working with 10. I think that he's getting right now drafted way too high. I think people are looking at what he did in college, and I will be the first to admit, I think Jonathan Brooks, from what he when he was healthy, was the best running back out of this draft class. I think he can do some amazing things. I just don't think we're going to see it in the first 8, 9 weeks of the season. One, it's not only the fact that he's coming off injury, but obviously that implies he's not going to get a lot of time in training camp. And, you know, what's the biggest thing that these players talk about going from college to the NFL? It's the speed of the game. And when, you know, there's been multiple players, patients that talk about that whole taking time to feel like normal movement, they're thinking too much. They're thinking about their movements. The last time I was out here, I tried to make this cut. My knee gave out on me, right? There's a psychological aspect that goes into it. You don't have time to think in the NFL at the running back position. So I think we're going to see some struggling from Jonathan Brooks. He's also not going to be behind with the best offense. So there's going to be opportunity. He's also in the middle of Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders, who, you know, aren't the best running backs in the world, but they're definitely capable. So I don't think he's going to immediately step in and get some running back one workload. You know, even if he is healthy enough by week 4 or 5, I think he's going to be splitting carries. Now, what I will say, I think this is a great opportunity for somebody to let somebody draft, whether in dynasty or redraft, let them draft Jonathan Brooks sooner than they should. Let them get disappointed. Let them be frustrated that he's not producing in these first 6, 7, 8 weeks when it should be expected. And then that's where you can come in with a trade offer and really be able to have some good value. Because I do think come second half of the season, come next season, I think he has the potential to be a really good running back. But I just don't think we're going to see it in the first half of the season. I think it's going to frustrate people if they're not coming in with that expectation. They want him to be, a day one starter, quote unquote. I think it's an opportunity to go ahead and swoop in and get some value for Jonathan Brooks.
Yeah, I love that. That's exactly where I was going to go. That it sounds like even when he starts to play, don't be surprised if why would they rush him into more than some big committee? He could be the running back three, just get him, 3, 5 touches here and there. And like you said, he may not even look like himself from what we remember from Texas. So the 2025 arrival date, it might be a full force breakout next year. But what you see in the bad optics of him not quite looking right just to get some reps, and what you said, hey, he's not getting the mental reps. You can say you're sitting there and you're reading the playbook. That's great.
Yeah.
But you're not actually in the huddle. You're not getting the 50% reps, the 75% speed reps, and then the full speed or preseason. He's going to get none of that, right? I mean, like him playing in the preseason is like a 0% chance. So,
I would be
yeah. So,
very
it's
shocked.
just
I
not
would,
real. Yeah. So
yeah.
pup, it sounds like pup list is a possibility slash probability. And even if he doesn't get that, he's going to get way slow played. So
Exactly.
even if
Yeah.
he's a quote unquote active week one, I think we should
Yeah.
be very slow play in terms of what we think is going to happen in that big committee.
Absolutely, because I can already see, because I would say for the pup list, I would say the pup list, around 50, 60% chance, right? And I can already see, him not being on the pup list and everybody freaking out and expecting like
Right.
25 touches in the first three couple
People
weeks.
start him in week one and they
Yeah,
end
it's
up with,
just,
he gets 4 touches. Yeah.
exactly. So, I think you just gotta remember this, what we're talking about in June once it comes to, NFL kickoff time when everyone's all excited and watching his highlights from Texas. And look, I'm not saying he's not going to get there. And even, by the end of the season, it's just to expect him to do that in the first part of the season is just not fair to that young man.
Yep. I want to ask you about Mike Williams just really quick, a guy that's had a ton of injuries here. But hey, the deep threat, the guy that could catch some 50-50 balls from Aaron Rodgers, the Jets could be good. What do you think about Mike Williams? He's sneaky old and he's just had a
Yeah.
ton of injuries. The latest one, what do you kind of project? Is he full strength? Is he going to be someone that we can glue and duct tape together here?
Yeah. I mean, I just feel like with this entire New York Jets team, it's like if they stay healthy,
Yeah.
a lot of optimism, right? A lot of, wow, this could be good. And it's a similar situation here. Now, he is working with 11 and a half months off of his clean ACL tear. So he does have that benefit of the doubt where, yeah, I would give him a good chance to have a chance to play week one. Now, the team has come out and said they're expecting him to be on a similar timeline as Breece Hall was last year. And if you look back at Breece Hall's touches, he was getting something like 6 carries, 4 carries, 10 carries, 12 carries. So this first 4 weeks, they really kind of, had a little bit of a short leash and kept him contained. And then after week four, I think he came back with a 22 carry, 100 plus yard performance. So, based on what they're saying, based on the injury, I would agree that those first 4 weeks, he might play, but this is not someone I would be starting those first 4 weeks. Expect him to be on a snap count. But from that point on, from week five on, I think he's absolutely got some great potential to be that big play guy. You obviously have Breece Hall, you have Garrett Wilson. Those are going to kind of be the go-tos. But as someone who can stretch the field and, so a big body receiver, I'm somebody who's willing to take a risk on Mike Williams. There's not a lot of guys coming off an ACL tear, but you're not paying a huge price for him at this point. A lot of people are saying, he's always injured. He's coming off this big injury. He's older. I think that's going to scare a lot of people away. But this is one of those, definitely some risk, but due to where you're getting at him, I think the kind of the ceiling for him, I think the risk is worth the reward here.
So it sounds like if Aaron Rodgers, gets through these next 2, 3 months and early part of the season healthy, if Mike Williams does as well, a couple slow games, you throw out an offer, you try to get him on the cheap rebound when he has, he's limited when you start seeing the routes he's not running on a weekly basis, because as you said, that's projected to ramp up week four, week five, week six.
Yeah,
Last
absolutely.
one and close to my heart, Juwan Johnson, foot surgery. I hated to hear this because he's a little baby Darren Waller. Like, he's
Yeah.
someone that really flashed. I love the story of positional convert, a guy that, comes from nothing, should have been out of the league in a year or two and ends up being a starting tight end.
Yep.
But foot surgery, receiver, tight end, this worries me. Are you gonna fuel my concern, or is this gonna be one that you're like, hey, let's wait and see. There's actually some optimism possibilities.
Yeah, no, I think it's the latter. I think everyone needs to pump the brakes here, right? So I think, in the fantasy community, there was a huge hype train for Juwan Johnson as far as, because it makes sense, right? It's a guy who's got a high ceiling, low reward. I think he was going around like tight end 22 or something like that. So, it would made sense why. I wasn't personally on that hype chain, but I kind of made sense. With this injury, man, his value has just tanked. Everyone has just immediately got off of him. But from what everything we've heard, now they haven't disclosed what kind of foot surgery he has, but based on the recovery timeline they gave of 10 to 12 weeks, there's about 2 and 3 quarters months until when from his injury to the season. So he's kind of tracking right along being ready by in that time. They're aiming for week one. This sounds like something like a Jones fracture, something where, it's the base of the pinky. Where there's just a fracture and they got to kind of go in and make sure it's fixated there. But this is something where bones and fractures, they really just need time. During the season, this is something that it sucks because there's not much you can do. You have to allow time for that to heal. Now, if we're in this point where, week one, okay, that might be, he might play, but that might be, he's going to definitely be rusty because you can't rush these type of things. They need to, you're not going to send somebody out there because if you just have a refracture or you break it again, then you're dealing with something much bigger. But all this to say, I'm kind of optimistic on Juwan Johnson. I found myself in a couple best balls. I was drafting him because he was essentially free at that point. I think that he's got a chance to be back for week one, but after week one, week two, I think all that optimism that people are having, there's no real reason that I see right now to completely jump off the train. I think this is a time where you can actually, take advantage of this news and realize that, hey, if it's just a foot fracture, nothing's come out said it's been a Liz Frank, something that would potentially end his year, something be crazy. I think this is an option where, let the fear mongering kind of take over people's minds and kind of grab Juwan Johnson out of value.
Love that. Tight end premium, especially. He's probably a big value right now because there's a lot of fear going on. But again, ending on a high note here. Love it. Sebastian Fearon, thank you so much for coming on, sharing your time and talents. Where can folks find you? What are some of the pieces of content you would like to point to that you've already put out and plan to as we ramp towards week one?
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for having me on. It's been a blast. Yeah, I'm at the DGen Doc on X and on TikTok, putting out content there. I'm pretty excited. So I've done some work with IDP Plus. If you're someone who's interested in getting into sports betting, that's something that I put on a educational tutorial, kind of showing you the basics of how to get into that. Maybe that's something you're interested in. Want to be smart about it. That's what I always recommend. I'm also putting out some NFL injury and preview content for the divisions. I'm having a new podcast launch this week, actually, over on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. It's going to be called the DGen Docs. It's going to be me and my buddy, two healthcare professionals that are going to be breaking down different injuries. But, we look at football in a little bit of a different way, and we want to kind of bring some of the insight to you guys and hopefully either help you win your fantasy league or win a little bit of money on the sports betting side.
Excellent. Sebastian, a new name. If you haven't heard him before, you will keep hearing his name. He's a riser, I'm telling you. Anyway, and a fellow Army veteran here on active duty. So love to hear that and talk shop with him before the show here. I'm Chad Parsons. As always, never settle, refuse to be average, and keep building those dynasties.